If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Hebrews 12. We're going to take just a minute to get there, but we will get there in just a moment. This morning, this has been an incredible time. I've never been able to be a part of a 100-year service. I have no idea, honestly, how old the church I grew up at is in Mobile, but I don't think they've made it to 100 years yet. This is a very special day, and I have not been here a tenth of the time as some people we celebrated. I've been here about 7 years, but I can say that the 7 years I've been here has been an incredibly blessing time to me as a member at first and then as a staff member here at ABC. This is a special place, and I'm so happy to celebrate it today. But the idea of taking time to celebrate what God has done and really remembering and proclaiming it, it's really a very deeply biblical idea. If you begin to think about it, you'll find stories all throughout the Bible, especially the Old Testament, you know, of God doing something amazing. And he tells people, hey, I want you to build a memorial to remember what I've done. We sang about this earlier in the service. At the very beginning, we sang, "Here I Raise My Ebenezer." Jennifer had a great footnote on the screen, but for years, you probably thought that was Ebenezer Scrooge. You're like, why are we raising up Ebenezer Scrooge? Well, that word is not Ebenezer Scrooge. It's a Hebrew word that means stone of help or stone of remembrance. This idea that at this point, God helped us. So we're going to take a stone and build a monument as a way for us to remember what the Lord has done, that we can look back at it and say, here's a time that God did an amazing work. And we want to remember it and celebrate it and trust him in light of what he's done in the past. But there's another place I love in scripture that we're going to read in a second. It'll be on the screen. It's not our main text for today, but it's from Joshua 4, where the people of Israel are crossing over the Jordan River, and God yet again parts the water so they can walk on dry land to carry the Ark of the Covenant through into the Promised Land. And I love the way that it describes the story and what God says to do at the end. It'll be on the screen, but Joshua 4, 1 through 7, it says this. It says, when all the nation of Israel, had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And I love that story, and it's a great picture of the kind of thing that we're doing today in this service, that celebrations like today are much more than just the sake of nostalgia and remembering the past. But a day like this at ABC is a day that we set up an Ebenezer, that we stack up some stones of remembrance to praise God for what he's done while looking forward to the future, knowing he's been faithful in the past, he's going to be faithful in the future. We need to follow him in obedience. Because like Spurgeon Davis said, right, we can't live in the past, we live on what's to be done, right? I love that. So, you know, but like we used to hear from one of our former pastors, Keith Pugh, he used to love to say that we are what? Monumental forgetters, right? Yes, I love that idea, which means then that we need monumental reminders many times of God's faithfulness. And celebrating 100 years as a church is a great way to do that. Now, none of us in this room obviously were here on that founding Sunday back in 1921, but so many of us in this room have been infinited from the legacy of ABC, whether we've been here for months or we've been here for decades. And so we should celebrate that this church, while it has far from a perfect history, is made up of broken people who are always gonna be part of a broken church, full of sinners in need of grace, but we've all have benefited from the amazing legacy that is Alberta Baptist Church. We've benefited from the legacy of faithful pastors and church leaders who have served the church over the years. We've benefited from faithful families that have raised kids and their kids and their kids in this church to be followers of Jesus. We've benefited from faithful disciple makers who have shared the gospel and invested their lives in people who have then turned around and invested their lives in other people. That we've benefited from the faithfulness of Open Door Baptist Church. Back in 2014, when Alberta Baptist and Open Door Baptist merged together, something that doesn't happen a lot, definitely doesn't work much in the Baptist church world, but God blessed us in a beautiful merger. So we should thank God today for all of the blessings and benefits that we in this room have received from those in the past. It's a good thing to remember that. And we also have to thank God for the ways he's worked through Alberta Baptist Church in the past 100 years. I couldn't get the actual numbers for this, but I have to imagine that thousands of people have been baptized through the ministry of this church over the years it's existed. That we've given hundreds of thousands, probably millions of dollars to world missions over the years to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. That we've sent out dozens, maybe even hundreds of missionaries to the nations throughout the years. That we've been able to serve the community around this church, especially during the season of the 2011 tornado and all that came after that when our building was destroyed, but yet the church wasn't destroyed, amen? And so we had much work to do and the community was a tremendous recipient of the blessing of this church community and their investment in this community. And that doesn't mean that we're bragging on ourselves, but we have a great opportunity today to remember all the ways that God has worked through this church. It's a good thing for us to celebrate that. But then that brings us to Hebrews 12 today that we're gonna look at. You know, how does this legacy of ABC, how does God's faithfulness in the past of this church, how does it compel us to move forward? We're gonna look at Hebrews 12 today for just a minute and consider that. So if you'll read with me, Hebrews 12, we're gonna be just in the first few verses there. Hebrews 12 says this, it'll also be on the screen. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. If you know much about the contents of Hebrews, the author has just spent a whole chapter, a long chapter if that, walking through what many call the Hall of Faith, this hall of fame of all these Old Testament heroes who display faithfulness to God and obedience to God. You know, he goes from Abel to Abraham to Moses to the judges to the prophets, all walking through this great cloud of witnesses, as he describes it. And they're this great example of what true faith looks like. And it's an interesting thing because that Greek word in this text for witnesses is actually a word play. It's a play on the word that also can be interpreted commended. So these witnesses are not just witnesses just to what has happened, but they are also commending us. They are compelling us to live in their example, that they stand as an example, that their faith in God's promises, even though they didn't see the fulfillment of them completely, their faith compels us to live for a higher calling. To live as they did, as citizens of a heavenly kingdom, of strangers and exiles here on the earth. And today at ABC, we stand in many ways in the presence of a cloud of many witnesses of the past 100 years of this church. That we look to the past and this faithful the faithful witnesses we've seen from the legacy of ABC, and they should point us to our faithfulness and our obedience and what God would have for us in the future. To, as the author of Hebrews 12 says, to run the race that's set before us. To run the race set before us. And we do have a unique race set before us today in 2021. The world is a lot different than it was in 1921, right? The world is a lot different even than it was in 2001, for sure 1961, that we all have our own set of struggles today when it comes to getting the gospel to the world, when it comes to walking faithfully with Jesus today, that the days of cultural Christianity in many ways are over, that we can't just open the doors and expect people to just fill up the pews asking about Jesus. We have a much different mission in many ways, not different mission, but a much different method for getting the gospel out today. That we have unique cultural questions and cultural challenges that are unlike any other time that we faced in the history. But this is the race that we've been called to run. This is the time that we've been placed in history, and this is where God has called us to run our race. And so we want to run it with obedience and we want to run it with faithfulness. And that's why the author of Hebrews says that we need to look to the witnesses behind us and then lay aside every weight that clings so closely so we can run this race well. So we can run it well. Because if we're going to be faithful to Christ, if we're going to be faithful to the mission he has given us as a church and as the capital C church, to make disciples of all nations, both here in Tuscaloosa and around the world, if we're going to do that, we can't just say, well, God, it's so hard today to do it. It was so much easier back in the 60s to make disciples, right? Today it's hard. That's not an option that we have. It's not an option that we have today. Instead, we have to do what the author says, that we have to allow God to expose the sin in us that we need to cast off, which is a hard work. We also have to cast off anything that would distract us or that would hinder us from running the race. And that's difficult work. That's sacrificial work. That's why we even are doing the thing of confession during this time of Lent. It's good for us as a church to practice this. But this is what we have to do if we're gonna run this race well. If we're not gonna end up passed out in a ditch on the side of the road, we have to do these things, cast off this sin, cast off this weight to run this race well. But I want you to notice the ultimate example, even more than the cloud of witnesses that Hebrews 12 gives. The ultimate example that the author gives is who? It's Jesus himself. Jesus Christ himself, that Jesus is the very founder and perfecter of our faith, that he's the one that set us on this race that we're on. He's the one that enables us to run the race that we're running. And he's the one that ultimately we're running after, the one that we're chasing after. We look to him as we look forward. And what did he do? Well, I love the description here. In the face of all the suffering that Christ knew he was gonna face on the cross, in face of all the shame he knew he was gonna endure on the cross, that Jesus looked past that and he looked to the joy set before him. He looked to the joy set before him, knowing what his work was gonna accomplish for the world. That Jesus looked forward to the joy of becoming salvation for all that would believe in him, so they could be brought back into a right relationship with him for all eternity. It was that eternal perspective that allowed him to endure the cross, to endure no matter what happened. And it's that kind of perspective that's gonna keep us faithful and enduring today, that we look to the joy set before us, that if we're gonna move forward in faithfulness as a church in the coming years, we gotta look to Jesus, who is the author of our faith, as the model of endurance. He's the model for us. I love the way that the missionary pioneer, William Carey, once said it. He said it this way. He said, "The future is as bright as the promises of God." That the future is as bright as the promises of God. That sounds very Hallmarky, but you gotta understand the context of this. That he's writing in that moment to a man named Adoniram Judson. I don't know if you know much about Adoniram Judson. He was a missionary, really the first missionary to go to the nation of Burma, which is now Myanmar. But he's a man who faced incredible, unimaginable loss on the mission field. That he lost multiple children. He lost his first wife. He lost his second wife. He lost his third wife to health concerns and disease in that country. He was imprisoned for his faith. He was tortured for his faith. He worked for over a decade on a manuscript, his life's work that he lost. It was gone. There was no cloud save at that time. It's gone, right? He spent over a decade as a missionary in Burma before he even had enough believers to constitute a small group, much less a church. I think it took almost 7 years to get even one person baptized, one believer in that country as he labored and labored. But guess what? 100 years later, there were 120,000 Christians in Burma. 120,000. The Burmese Baptist Association today can still trace their roots back to Adoniram Judson. And it's in Myanmar now, but it's still the same people. So in the end, the pain was worth it. That the joy set before Adoniram Judson was even worth the cost and the suffering put before him. The joy of even one person coming to Christ was worth it. And that's when William Carey says to him, "The future, no matter what you're facing right now, the future is as bright as the promises of God." So as we look to the future, we gotta believe that that's true. No matter how hard things may get, that the future is as bright as God's promises. Consider some of his promises that we need to cling to. We gotta remember that Christ has promised to never leave us nor forsake us, that his presence is always with us even to the end of the age. We gotta remember the promise that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Christ. The promise that through the church, the good news of the gospel will make it to every tribe, every nation, every tongue in the world. We got to remember the promise that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be made known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, according to Ephesians. That those are promises that God has given us, and he's not backing off on those promises. That the future is as bright as his promises, and the future of ABC is as bright as the promises of God. It is. And those are just a couple of promises that God has given us. We could spend a lot of time today walking through those, but that's what we have to cling to as we look forward as a church. Because the truth is that none of us here can guarantee that Alberta Baptist Church will exist in 100 years, which it's hard to imagine, like 2121, like we talk about, you know, Blade Runner in 2050, like 2121, like what does that even mean? I hope Christ has returned by that point, right? But we can't promise ABC is gonna be here in 100 years. But I know what we can guarantee is that in 100 years, if Christ hasn't come back yet, the capital C Church of Christ will absolutely be thriving in the world, getting the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we can cling to that. You know, and I'm not sure, I know for sure that none of us are going to be here in 100 years. If my son makes it to 101, maybe he can come to the 200-year service of ABC. You know, but the question that we want to face today, knowing that we're not going to be here for 2021, is what are we doing right now as members, as believers? First off, if you're not a believer, you will be alive somewhere in 2121, I'll tell you that, right? That we will all be alive somewhere, either a place of heaven or a place of hell, and we have the choice today to put our faith in Christ to guarantee where we'll be in 2121. But if you're a believer in this room, we gotta ask the question today, at this, you know, Ebenezer moment, at this kind of Stones of Remembrance moment, how are we contributing to building up the Church of Christ? How are we contributing to building up Alberta Baptist Church? How are we contributing to this church moving forward in its mission to make disciples in Tuscaloosa, to make disciples in Alabama, in the US, all around the world? Because God has been faithful in the past. We've seen that so much today. He's gonna be faithful in the future. So will we be faithful people right now in light of God's faithfulness? He's given us a mission. He's given us a race to run. So what are we gonna do to be the legacy of the next decades of ABC? Because the legacy of the next 100 years, if that's what the Lord gives us here, is gonna be determined by us in this room. We're gonna determine the future of this church. And God's far from done with the church. The church is God's plan A for getting the gospel to the world. There is no plan B. The church is God's plan A. So he's gonna get the gospel to the world through the church. But are we gonna be a church that's part of that mission? Are we gonna be part of it? So let's commit today to be a church that's not just about preservation, but a church that's about mission. Not just keeping safe and happy in our four walls or many walls of this church, but instead being a church that, while celebrating and loving how we get together, knowing that we are a church that is called to be on mission together, a church that is called and compelled to be people who are filled with the love of Christ, to be a people who are burdened with compassion for those that don't know Christ, to be a people who work relentlessly to finish the work that God has given us, which is to make disciples of all nations, to make disciples of Christ all around the world. That's why we exist as a church. That's what God wants us to move forward in the future. So will you dedicate yourself today to playing a role in that? Whatever that may be, and how God has gifted you, how God has wired you, we all have a role to play in this church. There are no spectators in this game. God has called all of us to be active in this. So as we begin to close today, I wanna read one more scripture that really is my prayer for Alberta Baptist Church. We heard a piece of it even during our prayer of confession today, but this comes from Ephesians 3. Paul is giving a prayer for the church in Ephesus, and I love this. I think it describes my heart so much for this church today. It's Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. It'll be on the screen as well. But Paul says this, and this is my prayer for this church, that for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's my prayer for this church, even to the next 100 years, that we as a church would be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, that we'd have a firm place to stand in a world of shifting sand, that we would grow together in mining the infinite depths of the love of Christ, that it can unite us together more and more every day, that we'd be filled together with all the fullness of God, whatever that means. That's a hard thing to imagine, but that we'd be filled with the fullness of God so that fullness could overflow out of us to the world, that the gospel would overflow out of us, and that we would see God do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according not to our own power, but according to his power, which is limitless and infinite, all for his glory. That's my prayer for this church. And so today, if you've never put your faith in Jesus, maybe you're here for this service, but yet you've realized you've never put your faith in Christ. Maybe you feel God calling you to himself today to surrender your life to Christ. We'd love to talk to you about that today. I'd love to talk to you about that. If you came with a family member or a friend, they would probably love to talk with you about that as well. We're also going to have some prayer team members. They're going to be up here at the front. If you would like prayer today, we'd love to take time to pray for you. If you even wanted to come up to the front today during our response song and just offer a prayer of dedication of yourself to the Lord for the future of this church, the altar is open today for you to come up and to pray however you feel led today. But let's respond to the Lord in the song we're about to sing. Let's also respond to him in the next months and years and decades of our life as we commit ourselves to this race that is before us, that we're going to run with endurance by looking to Christ, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. It's an incredible thing today to be able to come to a 100-year service and to celebrate something that none of us really had a part in initiating, but to see the benefit and the legacy that we have received of 100 years of faithfulness, of the legacy of this church. And Lord, I look at this day and it just makes me think, what kind of legacy am I going to leave in this church and in my own life that 100 years from now, what impact will I have? That no one may remember my name, no one may remember many of our names in this room in 100, 150 years, but our impact can carry on for far past that, according to your grace and through your power. And so, Lord, we don't want to leave just a legacy for our own fame, but we want to leave a legacy for the gospel. We want to leave a legacy of making disciples, be a church that is known for tangibly displaying the love of Christ in every way imaginable in this community and around the world. So, Father, grant us mercy, give us grace, give us wisdom as we as a church move forward with open hands, asking you to lead us, to guide us, to do what you would in and through us for your glory. I pray for anyone here who does not know you, that today you would draw them to yourself, that what better day than a 100-year service, 100-year anniversary of ABC to put their faith in Jesus and begin walking with him and receive new life in his name. Well, we love you. Pray in Christ's name. Amen.